You know, as I've gotten a bit older, maybe you're like me, as I get older, I start to reminisce more about my life. And it's actually been a good thing, thinking back and looking over the things that have happened. For the most part, I could say I honestly don't look back with regrets. But I have wondered on occasion if I had a second chance to live my life, what would I change? And I got to ask you this. Think about that. If you had a second chance, what would you do differently? Well, I came up with a few instances in my life where maybe I could use a do-over. There was that time as a kid when I wanted to try out my new handsaw. And my dad had just built a brand new wooden bookcase. And so I decided I was going to help my dad. And you can see where this is headed. You know, I sawed off all those straight corners, all those nice sharp corners. I sawed those off to bevel them so that they'd all be rounded and unevenly rounded. My dad was not happy. Early in our marriage, I went dress shopping with my wife, Mary. And by the time we stopped at the 20th store and she had tried over 500 dresses on, I was done. I was miserable. And being a new husband, I thought, well, you know, I should share my misery. So I tried to make my wife miserable as well. It didn't work. I've never gone dress shopping with Mary again. And I'm guessing even this morning I might need a second chance because of my slight exaggeration to the details of how many stores we visited and how many dresses she tried on. And then finally, there was that time that I complained to God about my unruly, thick, wavy hair. And God answered my prayer. It's just a reminder that we should be content. I did, though, think of some other examples where a second chance might be needed. You know, there was a husband who, his wife had just gotten a new dress, and without thinking, he said, you know, that dress makes you look a little fat, honey. He needed a second chance to keep his mouth shut. He might have also needed stitches to pull up where his wife had hit him on the head with a frying pan. Or how about this one, the gal who got pulled over for speeding. After she got her ticket, she told the police officer that now she was going to have to drive even faster to make it to her destination on time. She could have used a second chance. And then there's the classic, the guy who drank too much at an office party, and he told the boss what he really thought of him. And he got a second chance to look for a new job and a new career. Now, these are some lighthearted examples, but there are other times in our lives where we may have seriously prayed for a second chance. Maybe we made a poor decision, and it affected our life, and it affected the life of people we care about. And so we prayed to God for a do-over. In life, second chances might seem rare, but I want you to think about it. Are they really rare? It is Easter morning. We're celebrating. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive, and his resurrection does indeed change everything. A few minutes ago, we read the Gospel of Mark's account of Jesus' resurrection, and it's an amazing, life-changing, true story. Without the resurrection, there's no need to be here today. Without the resurrection, we have nothing to celebrate. The Apostle Paul made that point clear in his first letter to the church at Corinth. He wrote this, he said, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If only for this life we have hope in Christ," Paul said, "we are of all people the most to be pitied." But Paul finished his thought a few verses later. He said, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive." And that's the good news. That's the good news the woman heard back in Mark 16. It's actually great news. It's news that brings us joy. And I would guess that Most of you here know it by heart. You've heard it many, many times. And yet we can always learn something new. When I recently read those words in Mark 16, two words caught my eye. They were in verse 7, where the angel said, "But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee." Tell his disciples and Peter. Think about it. It was only 3 days early that Peter had denied even knowing Jesus. Jesus had been arrested. He was headed to the cross, and Peter feared for his life. At that moment, Peter didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And if you were here on Good Friday, you know that Peter had been sifted by Satan. Peter was sinful. He had abandoned his teacher and friend. That could have easily been the end of Peter's story. But of course it wasn't. In fact, Peter is believed to have provided much of the eyewitness information that John Mark used to write the Gospel of Mark. It was likely Peter who recalled the words of the angel. Peter wanted those words recorded. Tell his disciples and Peter. And the reason the angel delivered that message is because Jesus wanted Peter to know that he was forgiven. Peter was given a second chance. And Jesus' resurrection offers all of us second chances. His resurrection offers second chances to change during this life. If you look at John 21:15, the disciples are enjoying a breakfast with the risen Christ. And after they finished eating in a very famous exchange, Jesus looked at Simon, who was called Peter, and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus asked that same question three times, and each time Peter affirmed his love. And the third time Peter replied, he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that I love you." Pastor Scotty Smith points out something important concerning that exchange between Peter and Jesus. Smith wrote this, he said, "Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. It would have been easier on Peter had Jesus asked, 'Peter, do you promise not to fail me again?' But Jesus knew better than to ask that question because, of course, Peter would again fail. Peter would sin again." And then Scotty continues and he says, "Jesus is more jealous for our love than zealous for our works." I think that's really important. Jesus is more jealous for our love than he is zealous for our works. If Jesus has our hearts, he's got everything else. Peter's affirmation of love proved Jesus had Peter's heart. Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, and he was basically telling Peter to care for those who would follow him. It would change Peter's life. It would change many, many lives. On Good Friday, we read about the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22. And in that passage, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. He also said that after Peter returned to the faith, he was to strengthen his brothers. You see, before Peter had even failed, before Peter had even denied that he knew Jesus, Jesus was already saying, "Peter, you're getting a second chance." You know, a few weeks ago, a movie came out. It's called Unplanned. And I would tell you, if you only see one movie this year, I would recommend you see Unplanned. It's life-changing. Some of the scenes are hard to watch. It's a controversial topic, but it's presented truthfully and well. Unplanned is the story of Abby Johnson. Abby worked for Planned Parenthood. In fact, she was the youngest center director in all of Planned Parenthood. She was an employee of the year, and Abby sold abortions to women. And by her own estimates, she was involved in over 22,000 abortions. And Abby herself had had two abortions. Well, one day at work, she was asked to assist with an abortion. And what she saw in the room as the baby fought for its life changed Abby Johnson forever. God gave Abby a second chance for life. She left Planned Parenthood, and Abby now speaks for life. She runs a ministry directed at helping people leave the abortion industry. She's saving babies' lives. And I have to tell you, this is something cool that I just read the other day. God is using this movie to provide second chances for babies as we speak. I've read stories of women who were planning to have an abortion, but they were encouraged by some friends to go watch the movie. And they watched the movie, and they changed their mind. They chose life. Abby's making a difference. And it happened because she got a second chance. Jesus is the author of second chances. On the cross, he forgave our sins. The Bible tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. And what that means is that every morning you and I have the opportunity to change, to start over, to have a new beginning. Today, Easter, we can choose to change. And we don't have to do it on our own. God will help us. And of course, we know that change is never easy. But it'll be worth it. And so is there something in your life that needs changing? Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe we're some of those people who hurt the close people who are closest to us. The ones closest to us actually get the worst of us, not the best of us. Or maybe we need freedom from an addiction or a habit. Or some of us, we might need to do a complete 180 and a complete change of direction in our entire life. It can happen. And with God's help, it does happen. Jesus' resurrection also offers us second chances to be reconciled with God. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." Reconciliation is something that is so beautiful. I've witnessed it firsthand in families. Maybe you've witnessed it in a family. Maybe your family. The fact of the matter is that some families fight. And when families fight, feelings can get hurt. Words are said that can't be taken back. There's anger. A mom and a son may not be talking. A husband might move out of the house. A daughter won't return her brother's texts. Maybe the grandchildren stop visiting. But then something happens. Something brings the family together. It's a reunion. The truth is, they never stopped loving each other. They were just too hurt, too angry to make the first step. Sadly, the thing that brings people together is often a tragedy. The pain and the hurt and the loss of a tragedy can sometimes make us realize that we need each other. And when that happens, forgiveness is offered. It's received. Tears are shed. Hugs are given. And it's a brand new beginning. You see, Jesus died to bring God's children, to bring all of us back to the family. Picture your heavenly Father. He's running with open arms to greet you. Tears are streaming down his face as he shouts, "I love you. Welcome home." That's the beauty of Easter. Jesus came to make us right, to reconcile all of us with God. Jesus offers us peace with God. God acted. God always acts first. And then we're called to respond. Peace with God, though, requires surrender. We have to admit that we need Jesus. We have to admit that we can't make it on our own. We're not good enough. We constantly mess up. We give up control. And that's a big deal for some of us. It comes down to control. Some of us are control freaks. I tend to be that way myself. See, control freaks have a plan for their life, and they expect life to go just as they planned it. And really strong control freaks have a plan for your life, and they want your life to go just how they planned it. Right? Isn't that how it works? Well, I got a news flash. Life doesn't work that way. Think about the things that we can't control. We can't choose our family. We can't decide how tall we are. We can't really control other people, although we try, and a lot of times it backfires on us. We can't control how long we live. Sure, we can stay fit, we can eat healthy, but there are no guarantees. And it kind of makes you wonder, is there anything that we can control? And maybe surprisingly, the answer is yes. We can control the most important thing in life. Jesus' resurrection offers us a second chance to change our eternal destination. You and I, we control where we will spend eternity. John 3:36 states, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Did you catch those last words? It says the wrath of God remains on him. And remain is the key. Before we became Christians, we were under the wrath of God. And his wrath is justified. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin is rebellion actually against God. The Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "The wages of sin is death." He was saying we deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. We deserve hell. And now you can go home this afternoon and tell your friends or family that, you know, I went to church on Easter and the pastor told me that I deserve to die and go to hell. See, I always like to provide an uplifting message on Easter. It makes you all want to come back next week, doesn't it? Well, what I said about God's wrath is true, but there's so much more to it. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Paul was telling us that you and I, we get to choose where we go after this life. We control the most important thing of life. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, because of the gift of forgiveness and grace that Jesus offers every single one of us, we control our eternal destiny. We decide if we'll spend eternity in a horrible place called hell or we'll spend it in an amazingly wonderful place called heaven that is paradise. And what's so sad is that people choose hell. I don't get it. It's heartbreaking. I don't know if they're too proud to realize that they need a second chance. Or maybe they just can't fathom that there's a God who loves them so much that he sent his Son to die for our sins. And maybe that's where you are this morning. You're just not quite sure. Well, I want to tell you there's a solution to your doubts. There's a solution to our disbelief. We simply open our eyes. We opened our heart. We opened our mind to the truth of Easter. And it's the best choice. When we choose Jesus, when we declare Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we've chosen heaven. And now you can tell your friends and family this afternoon that you heard the best news ever on Easter at church. It's great news. It's wonderful news. But it's got an expiration date. Last Monday morning, I had a glass of milk with my breakfast like I always do. But this glass of milk was just a little bit different. It was special. I got to the bottom of the glass and I noticed chunks. White chunks of milk. And everyone knows that milk is not supposed to be chunky. And I'd been feeling fine, but immediately I got a sick feeling in my stomach. And I thought about it. I thought, the milk didn't taste bad, but it did taste a little different. And then I looked at the expiration date on the carton. It had expired 7 days earlier. It was headed south. And I took some biology in high school and college, and I imagined all those little bacteria feeding on the milk I drank. And then I imagined those same little bacteria in my stomach, and I wondered what they were doing. Fortunately, I didn't get sick. But I did toss the last of that milk, chunks and all, down the drain. A lot of things have expiration dates. And so does our second chance to be made right with God. As long as we live, as long as Jesus doesn't return first, we've got second chances. We can decide to trust in Jesus today, or maybe next week, or next year, or maybe even the year after that. But don't forget the expiration date. The moment that we breathe our last, or when Jesus returns, that second chance is no longer available. It will have expired. And what that means is so straightforward. If you've never taken Jesus up on his offer of forgiveness and life, do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. There are no guarantees for tomorrow. And the thing is if you've already belonged to Jesus, thank God for all the second chances he's already given you. Thank God for the second chances he's going to give you in the future. Each day is a chance to receive God's mercies. Each day is a chance to change how we live. Each day is a chance to make a difference in life. Every day is like Easter. And so we celebrate our second chance Savior. Amen.